This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com.
Many people misuse and misunderstand statements of Pope Pius IX on the salvation issue. This video will cover the matter. First, it must be recognized that the dogma outside the Catholic Church there is no salvation and the necessity of the Christian/Catholic faith was defined and settled before Pope Pius IX was even born. The Catholic Church had already dogmatically declared that the Catholic faith and baptism are required for salvation. It had declared that all who die as pagans, Jews, heretics, and schismatics are not saved, and that there's no other name under heaven given to men by which they must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Concerning adults who had no opportunity to hear the gospel, the Church teaches that they cannot be saved without the Christian/Catholic faith. Such ignorant adults are not damned for the sin of infidelity or for a sin of not having heard the gospel, but they are damned for their other sins. St. Thomas Aquinas put it well when he stated, quote, "If, however, we take it, unbelief, by way of pure negation, as we find it in those who have heard nothing about the faith, it bears the character not of sin but of punishment, because such ignorance of divine things is a result of the sin of our first parent. However, infidels of this kind, that is, those who lack the faith through ignorance rather than contrariety, are in fact damned on account of other sins which cannot be remitted without faith, but they are not damned on account of the sin of infidelity. Hence our Lord said, John 15:22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin, which Augustine expounds as referring to the sin whereby they believed not in Christ." End quote. This is the traditional teaching articulated by many saints and doctors. Most importantly, it's proven by the teaching of the Chair of St. Peter. Pope Pius IX was one of the longest reigning popes in history. He made many strong statements on the salvation issue, such as Nostis et Nobiscum, quote, "In particular, ensure that the faithful are deeply and thoroughly convinced of the truth of the doctrine that the Catholic faith is necessary for attaining salvation." In Ubi Primum, he said, "For there is one universal church outside of which no one at all is saved, who all profess one Lord, one faith, and one baptism." At the First Vatican Council under Pius IX, it was declared this true Catholic faith, outside of which none can be saved. Now let's examine the three statements from Pope Pius IX that are most frequently referenced and misused on this issue. The first statement is from Singulare Quadam, a speech of Pope Pius IX to cardinals dated December 9, 1854. He states, quote, "For it must be held by faith that outside the Apostolic Roman Church no one can be saved, that this is the only ark of salvation, that he who shall not have entered therein will perish in the flood. But on the other hand, it is necessary to hold for certain that they who labor in ignorance of the true religion, if this ignorance is invincible, are not stained by any guilt in this matter in the eyes of the Lord." Now in truth, who would arrogate so much to himself as to mark the limits of such an ignorance, because of the nature and variety of people's regions, innate dispositions, and of so many other things? For in truth, when released from these corporal chains, we shall see God as he is. We shall understand perfectly by how close and beautiful a bond divine mercy and justice are united. But as long as we are on earth, weighed down by this mortal mass which blunts the soul, let us hold most firmly that, in accordance with Catholic teaching, there is one God, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4:5. It is unlawful to proceed further in inquiry." End quote. Pius IX says that people who are invincibly ignorant are not held guilty in this matter in the eyes of the Lord. Let me repeat that, in this matter, that is, in the matter about which they are invincibly ignorant. That's absolutely true. As we mentioned and quoted from St. Thomas, the traditional teaching is that people who've never heard the gospel, if they die ignorant of the faith, are not damned for the sin of infidelity or for a sin of not having heard the gospel, but rather for their other sins. Hence, they are not held guilty in that matter before God. But that doesn't mean that they are not held guilty in other matters, or that they can be saved without the Catholic faith. They can't. As 16th century Dominican theologian Bishop Francisco de Vitoria stated, quote, "But the mistake which the teachers in question make is in thinking that when we postulate invincible ignorance on the subject of baptism or of the Christian faith, it follows at once that a person can be saved without baptism or the Christian faith, which, however, does not follow. For the aborigines to whom no preaching of the faith or Christian religion has come will be damned for mortal sins or for idolatry, but not for the sin of unbelief, as St. Thomas says, namely that if they do what lies within their power, accompanied by a good life, according to the law of nature, it is consistent with God's providence that he will illuminate them regarding the name of Christ. But it does not therefore follow that if their life is bad, ignorance or unbelief in baptism may be imputed to them as a sin. Further, it is needful for their salvation that they believe in Christ and be baptized," St. Mark, last chapter, end quote. Hence, Pius IX's statement that they are not held guilty in this matter before God is completely consistent with the Church's traditional teaching that all adults who die ignorant of the essentials of the Catholic faith cannot be saved. Pius IX then affirms that God's mercy and justice are united, and we must hold most firmly that there is one God, one faith, one baptism, and that it's unlawful to proceed further in inquiry. This contradicts the idea of, quote, "baptism of desire, and all who posit salvation by other baptisms, other than water baptism, or in other faiths." That's because in the context of discussing the necessity of the Catholic faith and the issue of ignorance, Pius IX teaches that it's unlawful to affirm anything besides the one God, the one faith, and the one baptism of divine revelation. Well, the one baptism of revelation is water baptism, as the Council of Vienne dogmatically declared. According to Pius IX, to hold anything beyond that is nephas, which means criminal or against the divine law. Let me repeat that. Pius IX teaches that it's criminal and against the divine law to affirm anything other than the one God, the one faith, and the one baptism of Ephesians 4:5, which is the sacrament of baptism. He thereby implicitly denounces theories of salvation through other baptisms and in other faiths in this speech. He should have even been more explicit in denouncing those ideas, but he affirms the true position and the true rule of faith. Those who hold and teach that people can be saved without the one faith and the one baptism transgress the divine law, according to Pius IX. Pius IX goes on to say that we should pray that all nations are converted to Christ and that, quote, the gifts of heavenly grace are never lacking to those who sincerely wish and ask to be refreshed by this light, end quote. This is also consistent with the traditional teaching articulated by people such as St. Thomas and St. Robert Bellarmine, which is that if someone is ignorant of Christ and does what is within his power and asks God for help, God will reveal the faith to him. Notice that Pius IX associates conversion to Christ with receiving the divine light. This will become important as we proceed. The next document of Pope Pius IX that's misused and misunderstood is Quanto Conficiamur, a letter to cardinals and bishops of Italy dated August 10, 1863. Pius IX wanted to emphasize that God's mercy is compatible with his justice and with the truth that no one is saved without the Catholic faith. That's why he discussed the matter of invincible ignorance on a number of occasions, as did many theologians in the past, who simultaneously correctly affirmed that no adult who dies ignorant of the Catholic faith can be saved. So just because a person discusses the concept of invincible ignorance does not mean that he is teaching that such people can be saved without the Catholic faith. Pius IX states, quote, "Again, it is necessary to recall and censure a most grave error, in which some Catholics miserably dwell, who suppose that men living in error and as aliens from the true faith and from Catholic unity are able to attain eternal life, which indeed is particularly opposed to Catholic doctrine. It is known to us and to you that they who labor in invincible ignorance concerning our most holy religion and who, while diligently observing the natural law and its precepts engraved on the hearts of all by God, and being prepared to obey God, live an honest and upright life, are able by the operating power of divine light and grace to attain eternal life, since God, who clearly sees, searches, and knows the mind, souls, thoughts, and habits of all, in accordance with his complete goodness and clemency, by no means suffers anyone to be punished with eternal torments who has not the guilt of voluntary fault." End quote. First, he condemns as a most grave error, gravissimum errorum, that men living in error and as aliens from the true faith can attain eternal life. He says this particularly opposes Catholic doctrine. This really ends the debate, for people who are unbaptized and ignorant of the Catholic faith are aliens from Catholic unity. The Church is a unity of faith, of sacraments, etc. Pius IX therefore teaches that it's a most grave error to believe that such people can attain eternal life while they are separated from the Church's unity. He then discusses invincible ignorance. As we've noted, there is a legitimate concept of invincible or inculpable ignorance, namely that people are not held guilty for what they do not know through no fault of their own. But such people cannot be saved without the Catholic faith. If they are responsive to God wherever they are, he will not leave them in darkness. Hence, Pius IX says that if such people diligently observe the natural law and are prepared to obey God, they are able by the operating power of divine light and grace to attain eternal life. The operating power of divine light and grace refers to receiving the gospel. For example, Ephesians 5, "For you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 5, speaking to believers, "For you are all children of the light." Colossians 1, "Giving thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation, a purchased people, that you may declare his virtues, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." 2 Corinthians 4, "And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are perishing, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine on them." Pius IX does not say that people can attain eternal life if they remain ignorant, but that they can attain eternal life by the operating power of divine light and grace, which, as we've seen, means receiving the gospel truth and being incorporated into Christ's church. We also saw the connection between receiving the divine light and conversion to Christ in Pius IX's speech, Singulare Quadam. In fact, in Quanto Conficiamur itself, just two paragraphs before the passage we are discussing, Pius IX makes a direct connection between the light and receiving the Christian faith. Quote, "The light of blessed faith illuminating many regions evermore each day," end quote. According to Pius IX, the light illuminates people with the faith. It doesn't leave them in ignorance. Pius IX also directly connects the light with receiving the Christian faith in number 7 of Singulari Quidem, a document we will also discuss. He states, quote, "The Church clearly declares that the only hope of salvation for mankind is placed in the Christian faith, which teaches the truth, scatters the darkness of ignorance by the splendor of its light, and works through love," end quote. Here he directly states that the light scatters the darkness of ignorance. Hence, Pius IX's statement in number 7 of Quanto Conficiamur, that people who are invincibly ignorant can be saved by the operating power of divine light and grace, should be understood in accord with his other statements, that such people can be saved through a providential bestowal of the light of the Christian faith upon those who are responsive to God where they are. Pius IX should and could have been more clear in Quanto Conficiamur number 7, but his words, properly understood, do not necessitate any false heretical or novel meaning. If divine light is operating, if it is working, as he says, that means that a person is receiving the light and is not left in the darkness of ignorance. In fact, Father Michael Mueller was a priest who lived at the time of Pope Pius IX. He wrote against people who misused and misinterpreted Pope Pius IX's words to teach the heretical idea that people can be saved who remain ignorant of the Christian/Catholic faith. He wrote, quote, "Inculpable or invincible ignorance has never been and will never be a means of salvation. To be saved, it is necessary to be justified or to be in the state of grace. In order to obtain sanctifying grace, it is necessary to have the proper dispositions for justification, that is, true divine faith in at least the necessary truths of salvation, confident hope in the divine Savior, sincere sorrow for sin, together with the firm purpose of doing all that God has commanded, etc. If invincible ignorance cannot supply the preparation for receiving sanctifying grace, much less can it bestow sanctifying grace itself, invincible ignorance, says St. Thomas, is a punishment for sin. It is then a curse but not a blessing or a means of salvation. Hence, Pius IX said that were a man to be invincibly ignorant of the true religion, such invincible ignorance would not be sinful before God, that if such a person should observe the precepts of the natural law and do the will of God to the best of his knowledge, God, in his infinite mercy, may enlighten him so as to obtain eternal life. For the Lord, who knows the heart and the thoughts of man, will in his infinite goodness not suffer anyone to be lost forever without his own fault. Almighty God, who is just, condemns no one without his own fault, puts therefore such souls as are in invincible ignorance of the truths of salvation in the way of salvation either by natural or supernatural means." End quote. The fact that God will bring such a person to the knowledge of the Christian faith is the Church's teaching, as we've seen. Speaking of those to whom the gospel had not been preached, St. Robert Bellarmine taught that they could not be saved without the Christian faith. He said that since they can know that God exists, if they pray and give alms, God will easily communicate to them the truths of the Christian faith, either through men or angels. He also stated, quote, "This is how St. Thomas responds. He cites the example of Cornelius, who, from faith in one God, was praying and giving alms, and in that way he won the grace of hearing the faith of Christ through angelic admonition and apostolic preaching and even of receiving sacred baptism itself," end quote. We covered this in our video on St. Robert Bellarmine. In 1847, Pope Pius IX also pushed back against people who attributed to him the heretical position that people can be saved without the Catholic faith. He stated in a consistory, December 17, 1847, quote, "But quite recently, we shudder to say it, men have appeared who have thrown such reproaches on our name and apostolic dignity that they do not hesitate to slander us, as if we shared in their folly and favored the aforesaid most wicked system. It appears that these men have desired to infer that we think so benevolently concerning every class of mankind as to suppose that not only the sons of the Church, but the rest also, however alienated from Catholic unity they may remain, are alike in the way of salvation and may arrive at everlasting life. We are at a loss from horror to find words to express our detestation of this new and atrocious injustice that is done to us. We do indeed love all mankind with the inmost affection of our heart, yet not otherwise than in the love of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save that which had perished, who died for all, who wills all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, who therefore sent his disciples into the whole world to preach the gospel to every creature, proclaiming that they who should believe and be baptized should be saved, but they who should believe not should be condemned. Who therefore will be saved, let them come therefore to the pillar and ground of faith, which is the Church. It shines refulgent in the perfect unity of the faith, of sacraments, and of holy discipline," end quote. Pius IX thus corrected those who falsely stated that he believed in such heresies. In that speech, he also affirms that those who believe and are baptized will be saved. So, although Quanto Conficiamur was more ambiguous, and misinterpretations of it have done much damage to souls, evangelism, and the Catholic faith, it bears an orthodox meaning. There's no reason to believe that Pius IX was contradicting Catholic dogma himself and all the saints and doctors who unanimously taught that adults must know Jesus Christ and the basics of the Christian/Catholic faith to be saved. Indeed, as we saw in that very document, Pius IX condemns as a most grave error the idea that people who are living in error and as aliens from Catholic unity can be saved. The next passage that's misused from Pius IX is from Singulari Quidem to the cardinals and bishops of the Austrian Empire, March 17, 1856. Certain heretics have made quite a fuss over this document, or rather over what they wrongly think the document says. Like so many aspects of the salvation and baptism issues, however, the erroneous use of this document is connected to a bad translation and a failure to carefully consider the words and the context. Before we cover the passage in question, note that in the same document, Singulari Quidem, number 4, Pius IX refers to the Catholic Church and the See of Peter. He says, quote, "outside of which neither true faith nor eternal salvation is found," end quote. He teaches that people cannot find salvation outside the Church. He makes no exceptions to finding salvation outside the Church, because none exist. But in paragraph number 7, he's discussing a different issue, namely hope. In this paragraph, he's not addressing finding salvation per se, but rather hope for salvation. This section is often mistranslated as follows, quote, "outside of the Church, nobody can hope for life or salvation unless he is excused through ignorance beyond his control," end quote. The translation is wrong. Pius IX does not say unless he is excused. He does not use, for example, the Latin word nisi. Rather, he uses the preposition citra, which takes the accusative case. Citra can mean short of, regardless of, without regard for, or leaving aside, among other things. This can be verified in various Latin dictionaries. For example, the New College Latin Dictionary by John Troutman gives this as a definition of citra with an example. Regardless of, for example, a person's wishes. Regardless of, or without regard for, the authority of the Senate and the people. The Oxford Latin Dictionary also gives the following as a definition of citra. Without reference or regard to, b. Without reference to a person's will, permission. In fact, in Pius IX's other letter to Austria, Vix Duma Nobis, he uses the same word, citra, but clearly with the meaning of regardless of. He states, quote, "for it was persuaded to us that you, even regardless of, citra, our exhortations, were going to voluntarily accomplish these things," end quote. Here, citra, used by the same pope to the same country, does not mean unless. It means regardless of or irrespective of. Pius IX says they were going to carry out certain things regardless of his exhortations. Another example of citra used in a similar way is in a Latin translation of Clement's epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 50, quote, "let us pray and let us ask from his mercy that we may live in charity without regard for citra, human tendency, and blameless," end quote. Again, citra here does not mean unless. It means without regard for or disregarding. In these instances, the object of the preposition citra is disregarded as something that does not or should not limit the teaching or statement. So if citra in this passage of Singulari Quidem is translated as regardless of, which is how he uses the same word in his other document to Austria, it would read, quote, "outside of which, regardless of the excuse of invincible ignorance, everyone is alien from the hope of life and salvation," end quote. This obviously bears a very different meaning from the mistranslation. As we've covered, Pius IX taught that those who are inculpably or invincibly ignorant are not condemned for that ignorance, and if they are responsive to God, he will bring them into the light of faith. Hence, this passage of Singulari Quidem could have meant that the dogma regarding the Church's necessity for salvation is 100% true, regardless of the excuse of invincible ignorance. That is to say, the concept of invincible ignorance does not in any way limit the dogma. It's perfectly compatible with it, because if someone is thus ignorant and responsive to God, God will, in his providence, bring that person into the fold. But one could also render citra in a weaker fashion, meaning leaving aside. In that case, it would be translated, quote, "outside of which, leaving aside the excuse of invincible ignorance, everyone is alien from the hope of life and salvation," end quote. I actually believe that this is the sense in which Pius IX is using citra in this passage of Singulari Quidem. But even with this, quote, weaker rendering of citra, there is no heretical meaning. That's because, as we mentioned, this passage is not about attaining salvation, but rather about hope for salvation. This is a crucial point. Since Pius IX believed that the invincibly ignorant, if they are responsive to God, will be enlightened, he could have simply intended to leave aside, citra, the issue of invincible ignorance when discussing whether anyone outside the Church can have a kind of hope for salvation. He could have been putting that to the side when mentioning the issue of hope. But that doesn't mean that anyone can find salvation outside the Church, or while remaining unenlightened and ignorant. Obviously they can't. Hence, although the mistranslation and a failure to consider the context of the passage has caused some to conclude that Pius IX was heretically teaching that the dogma outside the church, no one can attain salvation, has exceptions, better translations, a careful consideration of the context, and an understanding of how citra can be used, show that there's no need to conclude that Pius IX was heretically teaching that the dogma has exceptions. Indeed, the idea that the dogma admits of an exception is heresy. Even someone like Monsignor Joseph Clifford Fenton, who in fact was liberal on this issue, correctly stated that to say that the dogma outside the church there is no salvation has exceptions is to deny it. Quote, "The teaching that the dogma of the necessity of the church for salvation admits of exceptions is, in the last analysis, a denial of the dogma," end quote. Thus, those who wrongly think that Pius IX was inserting an exception to the dogma are accusing him of blatant heresy, but as we've seen, proper translations and a careful consideration of the context do not require any such meaning. Also, his passage is not infallible. The fallible teaching of Pius IX or any other pope must be set aside if it contradicts the Church's dogmatic and repeated teaching on this matter. The Church's dogmatic teaching, in fact, positively excludes all exceptions. It infallibly uses language such as no one at all, every human creature, whoever, none, etc., in declaring that there is no salvation without the Catholic faith or outside the Catholic Church. Exceptions are thus expressly contrary to the dogma. Pius IX does not teach that the ignorant can be saved if they remain ignorant and unenlightened. He expressly condemns the idea that anyone can be saved without the Catholic faith or while separated from Catholic unity, and he declares it criminal to profess anything besides the one Lord, the one faith, and the one baptism of divine revelation. The fact that no adult can be saved without belief in the essential mysteries of the Christian faith was reaffirmed by Pope St. Pius X in his 1905 encyclical Acerbo Nimis. He also references Pope Benedict XIV, quote, "And so our predecessor Benedict XIV had just cause to write, 'We declare that a great number of those who are condemned to eternal punishment suffer that everlasting calamity because of ignorance of those mysteries of faith which must be known and believed in order to be numbered among the elect.'" End quote. When he refers to the mysteries of faith which must be known and believed in order to be saved, he's not simply talking about belief in God and that God is a rewarder. He's including mysteries of the Christian faith. In fact, he refers to the dogma of the Incarnation in the same paragraph. That's because no one is saved without faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:12, St. Peter, the first pope, proclaims that there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved except for the name of Jesus. This dogma was repeated by popes throughout history, including by Leo the Great, Leo XII, Pius VIII, Leo XIII, and Pius XI. It was also taught by the Council of Trent. Pope St. Leo the Great, quote, "The Egyptians had from the first learned from the teaching of the most blessed apostle Peter through his blessed disciple Mark, that which it is acknowledged the Romans to have believed, that beside the Lord Jesus Christ there is no other name given to men under heaven, in which they must be saved," Acts 4:12, end quote. Pope Pius VIII, "Against these experienced sophists, the people must be taught that the profession of the Catholic faith is uniquely true, as the apostle proclaims one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Indeed, no other name than the name of Jesus is given to men by which they may be saved. He who believes shall be saved, he who does not believe shall be condemned." Pope Leo XII, "It is impossible for the most true God, who is truth itself, the best, the wisest provider, and the rewarder of good men, to approve all sects which profess false teachings which are often inconsistent with one another and contradictory, and to confer eternal rewards on their members. By divine faith we hold one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and that no other name under heaven is given to men except the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in which we must be saved. This is why we profess that there is no salvation outside the church." Pope Pius XI, "Since Christ finished the task of redemption, since that day no other name under heaven has been given to men, whereby we must be saved," Acts 4:12, end quote. To understand why this truth of divine revelation, this dogma of the Catholic Church, annihilates the heretical but very widespread idea that unbaptized adults who are ignorant of Jesus Christ or who make no active faith in him or who belong to a false religion can be saved, consider the context of Acts 3 and Acts 4. In Acts 3:6, St. Peter says to a crippled man, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." St. Peter invokes the name of Jesus to heal a man. In Acts 3:16, 10 verses later, St. Peter explains that it was by faith in Jesus' name that the man was healed. Quote, "And it is by faith in his name that this man whom you see and know, that his name has made him strong," end quote. Notice the invocation of the name of Jesus, that is the actual calling upon Jesus' name in an act of faith in him, is what healed the man. In Acts 4:10, St. Peter further explains, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well," end quote. As we can see, the actual invocation of the name of Jesus Christ in an act of faith is what St. Peter means when he says, "by the name of Jesus Christ." Then in Acts 4:11-12, St. Peter says, quote, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." End quote. Here we have an infallible declaration from the first pope that the only way for someone to be saved is by the name of Jesus Christ. We also saw that by the name of Jesus Christ to St. Peter and the Acts of the Apostles refers to an actual invocation of Jesus' name during an act of faith. If a person does not receive that act of faith which mentions Jesus Christ's name, he or she cannot be justified and saved, period. That's the dogma of divine revelation. That's the teaching of the Catholic Church. Also consider that it's a name under heaven given among men. It thus refers to what actually occurs on earth. That further excludes the heretical idea that Jesus might save people from heaven without any act of faith in his name on earth. No, there must be a justifying act of faith in Jesus' name which is applied to the person on earth. There is no other way to be saved. That's also why St. Peter says this in Acts 10:43. "To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." No one is justified or saved without the act specifically in the name of Jesus Christ. This truth obviously totally excludes and shows to be heretical the idea that adults who don't know of Jesus or believe in him can be saved without faith in him, such as the following heretical statements.
That doesn't preclude that some people can be saved even if they don't know that the church's sacraments are how we receive grace, or they don't know about Jesus. They've never heard about any of this.
But that relationship can come in mysterious ways known to God alone, through the invincible ignorance of the person.
And if someone is saved who is in those false religions, it has nothing to do with that false religion. It has to do with the grace of God and their ignorance.
Particular individuals that might identify as, you know, a Jew, a Muslim, but have all those qualifications, it's possible that they could be mystically united to the church.
Those heretics and many others like them deny many dogmatic pronouncements of the church on this matter. They also reduce the dogma of Acts 4:12 and related dogmas to meaningless formulas. Pope Paul III further contradicted such pernicious heresies in his May 29, 1537 papal bull. Quote, "Man, according to the testimony of the sacred scriptures, has been created to enjoy eternal life and happiness, which none may obtain save through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." End quote. Pope St. Leo the Great, "No one at all can be justified save those who believe the Lord Jesus to be both true God and true man." End quote. Adults must know and believe in the essential mysteries of the gospel and the Christian/Catholic faith, such as the Trinity and the Incarnation, as the Athanasian Creed also teaches. So, what is the external act of faith in the name of Jesus Christ that forgives people, which everyone must receive to be saved? It is baptism. That's why the Acts of the Apostles repeatedly says that people are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 2:38, "And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Acts 8:16, "They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Acts 10:48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Acts 19:5, "On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." End quote. Do you see the connection? Divine revelation directly connects St. Peter's statement in Acts 4:12 that people must be saved by the name of Jesus Christ with baptism, which it repeatedly identifies as the act in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This proves a number of things. One, baptism regenerates, forgives, and justifies, since it's the act in the name of Jesus by which people are forgiven and saved, and that's also clear in Acts 2:38. Two, infants are justified by baptism because everyone must receive that act to be saved. Three, no one is saved without water baptism because, as St. Peter says in Acts 4:12, no one is saved except by the name of Jesus Christ, and baptism is that act in his name. And four, no one who dies unbaptized and ignorant of the essential truths of the Christian faith can be saved. To say that an unbaptized and ignorant adult who doesn't know Jesus or believe in him, and therefore doesn't make any act of faith in him and his name, can be saved, is rank heresy. It is to reject the Acts 4:12 dogma and other dogmas of the Catholic faith, such as the Church's infallible teaching that no one can be saved or justified without the Catholic faith. The Council of Trent, our Catholic faith without which it is impossible to please God. Such a position, of course, also rejects the dogma proclaimed by Pope Eugene IV at the Council of Florence, that all who die outside the Catholic Church, including all the pagans, Jews, etc., are not saved. Further, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ refers to baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, as the context of Acts 19 shows. It's called baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, even though it's baptism according to the Trinitarian formula, because the Son and Jesus Christ are the same person. A baptism in the name of the Trinity is a baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, because he is the second person of the Holy Trinity who is invoked in that formula. In addition to baptism, an adult must, of course, believe in the essential truths of the gospel and the Catholic faith in order to be justified and saved. He also cannot reject any deeper truth of the Catholic faith of which he is aware. To be saved, it's also necessary to die in the state of grace by obeying God, avoiding mortal sin, and persevering in the true Catholic faith until death. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, which is a key verse on justification, we also find the direct link between forgiveness, justification, and an act in the name of the Lord. Quote, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." End quote. The Greek verb for washed here in 1 Corinthians 6:11, apolluo, is only used one other time in the New Testament. That's in Acts 22:16, which refers to sins being washed away in water baptism. St. Paul describes the Corinthians as having been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, precisely because he's referring to when they were baptized. Many doctors of the Catholic Church reaffirm the Church's teaching that no one can be saved without faith in Jesus Christ. They correctly taught that those who die without ever having heard the gospel are not saved. Such ignorant people are not damned for their ignorance, but they are damned for their other sins, which cannot be remitted without faith. If people in such situations are of good will and responsive to God, God will bring them to a knowledge of the Catholic faith and baptism. In John 3:18 we read, "Whoever does not believe in the Son is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." The same truth is reaffirmed in John 3:36, concerning which St. Robert Bellarmine states, quote, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not believe in the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him," John 3:36. Correctly, St. Augustine observed that it was not said in John 3:36, "the wrath of God will come on them, but remains on them," in order that we would understand faith in Christ to be necessary, not only so that we would not fall into the wrath of God, but even that we might be freed from the wrath into which we have fallen through the disobedience of the first man. Concerning which it was stated by the Apostle to the Ephesians chapter 2, "For we were also by nature children of wrath," end quote. This is a very important point. Notice that it's not as if someone must hear about Jesus and the gospel and then reject him to be condemned. Yes, that will condemn him, but people who don't believe in Jesus, whether they've heard of him or not, are already in a state of condemnation due to original sin, and if they are above reason, their actual sins. That condemnation, which excludes them from heaven, remains upon them unless it is removed through faith in Jesus Christ and incorporation into him. There is no other way to be saved.